Hello, everyone out there. This is Trevor with Tea Time Reports. I'm joined here with a very special guest today. Going to be talking about some films we've watched over the past, I'd say probably a year and a half, but over, you know, more recently, talking about some of the movies that we've been watching. But today I'm joined here by, you know, my mom, my grandmother, aka the G, if you will. but yeah, Sharon Carroll is my mom. So if you ever hear us talking about my mom, that's who we're referring to. But how have you been, Mom? What's going on lately? Besides the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
I know. I was going to say that besides me being totally just still so thrilled, just still thinking, did that really happen? Did they really beat them the way they beat them?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And that was kind of a movie in itself. But more recently, we watched a movie called Den of Thieves. Came out January 19th, 2018. It's about 2.5 hours, rated R, of course. I'm sure people have seen the new Den of Thieves 2 trailer that's come out. Like, there's a second one that came out. Not really expected, but what were your thoughts on this movie, my mom? And what would you recommend to people about it?
Well, the main thing I remember is, and you said this to me, you'll find sometimes that you're pulling for the bad guys, and I know in the beginning I said to you, so he's a detective because the main character, what I call the main character, does not seem like he's a detective in the beginning. He seems like, so is this guy maybe the leader of the Den of Thieves or something? And then you find out he is a detective.
Yeah, the Nick O'Brien, Big
yes,
Nick.
Yes,
yeah,
yeah.
Played just, by Gerard Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that was like the best performance of the movie was him?
Yes, oh definitely. Yes.
And just a quick summary for everyone out there. The movie was a little summary here from Rotten Tomatoes. Nick O'Brien is the hard-drinking leader of the Regulators, an elite unit of Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. Ray Merriman is the recently paroled leader of the Outlaws, a gang of ex-military men who use their expertise and tactical skills to evade the law. O'Brien, Merriman, and their crews soon find themselves on a direct collision course as the criminals hatch an elaborate plan for a seemingly impossible heist, the city's Federal Reserve Bank. So they did give us like some input. Like, this is LA. Like, a crap ton of robberies happen every year there. Give us some thoughts on, I guess, like the opening scene to the end, like when they stole that bank truck in the beginning and there was nothing inside it.
I know, and I couldn't figure out why do they want a truck that there's nothing inside of. And it also struck me that they're supposed to be almost impossible to steal. They have, you know, the gun things, whatever.
The gun hatches you can shoot out of.
Yeah, the gun hatches, what they call them. How they did that, and they also...
They got into the shootout with the cops,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it was just... It was a very... I could see action. I mean, it was very... There was always something going on, and I was a couple times going like, wait, which one is this guy? I mean...
Oh, well, I guess in the moment, it really doesn't matter, you know?
It doesn't.
Like, who is who? Like, it definitely gets crazy. But, yeah, they steal that truck in the opening scene, and we find out later why, because they're trying to rob this Federal Reserve Bank where they need this truck to appear as, like, they're transferring money in and out. They talk about how the Fed shreds like $30 million in cash every afternoon or something.
And it doesn't have the serial. They don't account for the serial numbers. And so you're never going to get caught with that serial number because it's never been recorded that it was stolen.
It was destroyed, shredded up.
Right.
So, no, it's definitely, I feel like the story or like the heist itself was pretty cool. You know, how they planned it all out and how they used that one little bank as a distraction, went in the plumbing, sit in the sewers, and went and kind of used that as a diversion for the city's police.
But it was also believable. I mean, those kinds of things can happen because we're so all interconnected now.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. It definitely was a very elaborate heist by Merriman, played by Pablo Schreiber. Guy that was, he's in the new Halo show. They got canceled, sadly, but he was also in 13 Hours.
Yeah,
you've seen that Michael Bay movie with the dudes in Libya, remember? The ambassador that was getting dragged through the streets.
Yes.
Yeah, that was... Michael Bay did a movie on that. He was in it. But this guy plays Ray Merriman, the leader of, like, the criminal outfit, I guess you can say. Can't also forget that Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., plays Donnie Wilson. He's in this. Remember, Donnie? I'm in control of my environment at all times.
I can't remember him. I remember him.
The guy that got out of the cop car at the end, and they're like, where the fuck is Donnie? And then, remember the cliffhanger at the end?
Yeah.
So he's like prevalent in number two. But going back to Ray Merriman, what were your thoughts on his character?
His character, that was...
The main, the big white dude.
He was amazing. And the thing that struck me too was he didn't kill people. He didn't have a lot of collateral damage because... If you were not a bad, well, if he did not, if you weren't standing in the way of what he was after, then fine. Just don't kill him. Don't hurt him. Just leave him be. Because that woman that they dragged to the back, tell her that I thought they shot her, and they didn't. I mean,
they faked it, yeah.
Yeah.
And they even said it in the movie. They're like, yeah, these guys, they're not shooting civilians. They're going for, if you have a uniform on, like, they're going to take you down.
Yeah.
Like you said, they're in your way.
You said, I can't remember what he said about, not that you don't shoot the innocent, but something to that effect. When they said, why didn't he kill him? Because he doesn't take innocent lives. I can't remember how he worded it, but it was like, oh.
Yeah.
No, so even thieves have a very strict code of ethics.
Some of them, yeah, for sure.
Some.
Right. But, I also liked how he was like, I'm not cuffing up, you know, because he got out of prison after he got caught. They were like, he's
not going back.
They went through like his entire like resume of robberies, and they're like, in 04, he pulled off this. Like, they never found the guy, but it fits his MO. In 05, he does this. And they never found the guy, but it fits the MO. And then in 07, he gets caught for one of them. Same MO as the other two, but he got pulled over for a busted taillight after the robbery. And then he went away for 10 years. And then he gets out, and then the cop that was walking around, he's like, I'll see you again, Ray. I'll see you right back in here. He's like, no, you won't. Yeah. Like, even then, he's like, he was never going to go back. Like, he was never going to be, you could tell, never going to be put in a position of, like, putting cuffs on again. Like, he literally says, I'm not cuffing up. But what were your thoughts on, I guess, he seemed robotic, but, like, you know, he had a lady. He, you know.
So, I mean, he really, there was a lot of depth to him, to the character that he played, that you didn't realize. Again, he wasn't going to go back to jail. And I'm not sure if he didn't want to go back to jail because he didn't want to be caught again, and he didn't want to be controlled again. He wanted to be in control of his life, his environment.
Yeah.
Or whether he just was tired of it.
I mean, because the only thing he was good at was either being a soldier, which he previously was, and he can't do that after a certain age or a certain incident. But then, you know, going in and trying to get money and using your skills, like...
He was so brilliant.
Yeah.
I remember saying to you, if he would put that to use doing something that would benefit him. But I guess it did benefit him, too.
And maybe short term.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And then going into Donnie Wilson's character... And then 50 Cent was also in this. He plays Ensign, but he had a good scene where, like, his daughter was going on that date, and he, like, took the boyfriend in and scared the shit out of him with all his friends.
Oh, my God.
No, that was funny. That was a pretty funny moment. He wasn't, like, a big character or anything. He was kind of, like, the side guy. But Donnie Wilson, played by Ice Cube's son, O'Shea Jackson Jr., I'm sure if I showed you a little clip of him, like, you would remember, but he was...
I do remember him. I remember him mainly because of what he did with the daughter. When you mentioned the daughter, that's... Oh, yeah.
Well, no, but Donnie, remember the guy that he's like, oh, he pissed himself, and they were, like, interrogating him in the hotel room with all the prostitutes and stuff?
Yes!
That's Donnie. He's like, he got the fastest speeding ticket in California history was his character. He's like, how fast were you going? He's like, 176 miles an hour. And he's like, what did you tell the cop when he pulled you over? He's like, I forget what he said, but he's like, what'd you get? Like, I can't remember. I don't want to, like, misquote it, but it was really funny. But I don't know if you remember, at the end, he was the mastermind behind it all. He was using Ray Merriman as, like, the face.
And O'Brien was, like, Nick O'Brien, a character, was like, what? I mean, they were all...
Yeah, because you... I mean, you maybe could have picked up on it a little bit, because at his bar, he had, like, the whole waste management, like, truck guys in there, and they all played soccer together. And they were, like, the B team of that whole group. So, like, they were never, they weren't going to get the bigger cut. So, like, they squeezed the top guys out of it. And Max Holloway, a former UFC guy, was in that, too. He only had, like, one line. But, no, I thought that it was a really fun twist at the end. And
that wasn't, yeah, when I thought of the movie, The Usual Suspects, where at the very end you realize, wait, that guy is the one that was behind it all. He was the mastermind. I don't know if you've ever seen, ever seen that movie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie. And I feel like this movie also got, I mean, speaking of 90s movies, I feel like this movie got a lot of inspiration from Heat. I think you've probably seen that with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
I've heard of it. I don't know that I've ever seen it, but I've heard of it.
Like, the gunfight scenes are very similar and stuff. You could tell they got a lot of inspiration from it, but... Den of Thieves 2 did come out. We haven't seen that, but we'll probably watch that at some point.
Yeah, they can't. I wonder if they'll have characters very similar to the characters that died in Den of Thieves.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you remember at the end, but Donnie was over in London, and he was looking at a jewelry exchange, so whole different world of, I mean, because you really didn't get much of him, because probably his whole character was probably a lie and to begin with as well.
They really sold the detectives on that too. I mean, they did not think he was
capable.
I mean,
no, you're right.
He was just, I remember thinking at one point in the movie, that's a shame. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. No, he wasn't. This was all his idea.
Yep, you're not wrong. And then we also, as of lately, we watched Deadpool 1, we watched Deadpool 2. We have not seen Deadpool 3 yet. Well, I have, but you haven't.
Yes.
But what were your thoughts on the first two?
They were so well done, number one. So well done. And I kept telling Frank, my husband, your papa, that you have to see that second one, because he only saw the first one.
Yeah.
I said it was absolutely amazing. The thing I remember about those is I can't believe how long they were. They seemed to be over in 20 minutes.
Mm.
I mean, they were... I really enjoyed both of them. I still think about some of the stuff they do. It was outlandish, some of the things, but still believable.
And funny. Like, funny. A lot of fun. And what were your... Like, the music? Did you like the music choices? And
I did. And you're talking about the one song that they had. And I can't remember which one it was, but it reminded me of how much of a part music plays, because it can emotionally, it takes me, when I hear that kind of music, it takes me back to different scenes in my life, and it's like I can see why you feel the way you do about a movie, what makes it funny, what makes it sad, because it puts you in the atmosphere.
Yeah, no, the soundtrack is also so important, like composing that right with the movie, making it match, like it's key.
I saw the movie, it was in a thing, I'm sorry, this is a little bit aside, but I saw the movie Psych, didn't see the whole movie, but different pieces of the movie Psycho.
Yeah.
And the shower scene is not nearly as scary when the music is stopped, when you don't have any music.
Yeah. If you take away the music and it's...
That shrieking.
It adds such a element to it that it's really hard to explain, but you feel it.
It is. I can't...
No, I agree. But yeah, no, like, getting back to some of the Deadpool movies, like, you mentioned the music, and we talked about it being funny, like, the humor, it being very dark, a lot of drugs, and... rated R stuff, but it was just, you know, kind of free and loose, you feel. And
the woman that he, who was that, the woman that he...
His like, lady?
Yeah, no, the older woman.
Oh, the girl that he was living with, the old blind lady. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's hilarious. God. And she's, and I think it's in the second one, she was, like, asking if she could do some coke, and Deadpool's like, you know what? I have it stashed in the apartment. If you could find it, it's all yours. Like, and she's blind. So, I mean, like, it's going to take her quite some time. But she'll find it.
I have a feeling.
She might find it, actually, yeah. But, no, just the moments like that just reminds me of, like, Family Guy. And just, like, really just... They're more trying to get in tune with the audience than trying to progress the story. Just trying to make you laugh. And
yeah.
I can always appreciate when a movie kind of pauses and... makes you realize, okay, they know what they're doing. Like, they know what they're making. Like, it's a joke. It's not meant to be taken seriously or offend anyone. It's, you know.
There are some movies that are so, like you say, so dark, so intense that you need those bits of humor to break it up. So, okay, I'm going to the next scene that's going to be really bad, but...
And that's what Deadpool does really well, actually, because it's very gory, very dark, and... messed up. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole cancer story with him having cancer in the first one, and like, that's not supposed to be funny, but Ryan Reynolds makes it funny. Mm-hmm. This was like his biggest dream as an actor was to Deadpool in live action. So I mean, he did it so well. Like, he broke the internet and broke a lot of different circles with that first one when it came out. I mean, it was huge. But so you liked the first one. The second one with Josh Brolin, did you like that one?
Yes, I did. I liked both of them. That's why I'm really looking forward to it, because of all the characters in that movie where Wolverine was, what are they?
Oh, the X-Men?
Yes, X-Men. I always forget that. His character was my favorite. Hmm. There was something about that character. He was also funny, but not funny.
Serious.
Yes, very serious.
No, I know what you mean. He had that sarcasm to him, like, and have you ever seen Logan, the movie Logan?
No,
it was like, because he was supposed to be dead, like Wolverine was supposed to be dead, and that's where they killed him off, like that was his last movie. Then Ryan Reynolds, through his Deadpool movies, you saw him teasing Hugh Jackman with the magazine, like the cutout, and remember he had, like, cut out a picture of Hugh Jackman's face and put it on like his in the end of the first one. Stapled it to his own.
Yes.
Like, he was just joking with Hugh Jackman the whole time.
And he was bringing him back to life.
Yeah, that's what he tried to do, and he did it successfully. He got him inspired to come back and make the third one with him. I don't know if he'll be back, but, you know, that was pretty cool, you know, that there's a little lore behind it. And one of my favorite people from the first two was T.J. Miller, the bartender.
Yes, mine too, and you said he won't be back, though.
He wasn't in the third one because him and Ryan Reynolds got into fights. I think we were talking about that off of, you know, a couple weeks back. But he was so funny when he's like, your face looks like someone face fucked the topical map of Utah or something. Like, it is just the most outlandish, like you said earlier, just so outlandish and just so funny and just so loose. Like, you could tell they were just having so much fun making this, and you got that through the screen, I feel like.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on, I guess, some of the jokes and stuff in the Deadpool movies?
They were, some of them I was laughing at, I was thinking, they're horrible, but they're funny, they're so funny.
Especially the second one where they got, like, that fat kid as, like, the villain they're trying to save, and he himself was funny, the kid was funny as hell, like, he's, like, there's no obese X-Men, and, like, it was just so, you know, just no one, you could tell no one cared, like,
yeah.
And they were just having a good time. Because, like, that was actually... I think Deadpool was owned by Fox at that time. And they just sold all their rights to Marvel. So, Disney owns, like, Deadpool and stuff now.
Disney owns everything now.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And when you watch the third one, you'll see, like, it's definitely a lot different. Not in a bad way. It has a lot of really fun stuff. But, like, even Ryan Reynolds in the middle of the movie, he's like... Kevin Feige, you know, said I can't make jokes about cocaine anymore, like, in the movie, and he's like, so I can't do that, so we're gonna do this, and then it cuts to, like, something else that's horrible, like, so you can just tell they're having a good time. And
I like those asides that he would do, where he would look in the camera, and, like, he's talking to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Ferris, he literally ripped off Ferris Bueller, remember at the end of the first
one?
Didn't
see that.
No?
Mm-mm.
No, he literally was in the robe, and he was like, hey, guy, he was like, da, 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 and the Ferris Bueller music was on too, like the references too of all, like, pop culture and, like, movies are really good in those movies.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, if your pop was watching.
Oh, Ferris Bueller?
Yes, Ferris.
You've never seen it completely. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Never sat through the whole.
It's amazing. Yeah. That's an iconic movie.
I know.
You got to watch that at some. We'll have to watch that soon. We have that. We have Deadpool 3, The Big Short we have to watch still.
There's another one. Well, Deadpool 3 we have. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I can't. Den of Thieves, when you told me what it was about, I didn't think I'd enjoy it, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more layered than mm-hmm. you would figure. I mean, if you go on Rotten Tomatoes, they have it as a kind of a mediocre score, which I just don't agree with, but Rotten Tomatoes is like the biggest site for like movie scores and reviews. And
they're the one that sometimes, too, when I look at them, the reviews or their what they score them at is different than what the audience.
Yeah, no, I always go off of the audience score typically because mm-hmm. you're going to trust everyday people. And you can go onto their website and just read some of the reviews some critics leave, and they're horrible. Like, it's like, did you even watch the movie? Like, how are you getting paid for this? Like, yeah, no, it's not good. But we'll have to circle back on another episode after we watch Deadpool and Wolverine, The Big Short, and then a couple more we'll have to rack up. But any other kind of tidbits of your personal... What would you recommend about the Deadpool movies to people that haven't seen them for some reason?
the humor, I don't know how, I'm not good at describing it, but it takes you off guard. I mean, something that you wouldn't laugh at, you're laughing at.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this isn't really funny, but it is funny.
And normally, like, what is your type of movie? What do you typically watch? Comedy or?
Comedy. I go more for comedy.
Like Airplane 2.
Uh-huh. It's a Mad Mad World. What they call, or used to call, sight gags. Seeing something.
Like Charlie Chaplin.
Yes. I mean, and then I keep thinking about it, and finding them funny. But movies also, you showed me another one that was, I always forget the name of it. Begins with a P.
Papillion?
No, it's the one where...
Oh, The Prestige.
Prestige. Oh, my yeah. God, that movie. I still think about that.
Yeah, that movie's amazing with Hugh Jackman, mm-hmm. Christian Bale, Michael Caine, Scarlett Johansson. I love that movie. That's one of my favorite movies.
It was just so...
Because it's about something that isn't serious, mm-hmm. like magic. And let's be honest, it's not this, you know... massively serious thing.
No, but and he sacrifices himself at the end, knowing that his brother will
his
take
twin
care
brother,
of
yeah.
him.
Yeah, that's why at the end he says abracadabra, and he draw. And also, I don't know if you noticed, but like when he talked to Fallon, quote unquote, his twin brother mm-hmm. handed him the red ball. How did he get the second one?
Yeah,
you know. Because he dropped one as he was getting hung, as he said, abracadabra. And then his brother mm-hmm. dropped one to Hugh Jackman and then shot him. That movie is just insane. Like, Christopher Nolan is... I think he's the greatest director of all time. Like, in my opinion.
Who directed the Deadpool?
I'm not too sure.
Okay.
As Deadpool said, though, in the opening... Like, in the opening credits of the first one, directed by an overpaid tool. So, and honestly, like, if you look at those movies, like, you don't really need a good director to make them good. You just need Ryan Reynolds to do what he was doing and just have a camera on record. With the Dark Knight trilogy, with The Prestige, with what Christopher Nolan makes, like, those are actual pieces of art. There's rarely CGI used. If you look at the Dark Knight Rises opener, when he, like, rips the plane in half midair, that was all practical effects. He did that. He actually did that. Like, which is, it doesn't make sense. Like, you don't, you have the money to do stuff like that for sure, but normally you just hire a bunch of engineers to make it on a computer. But instead, you figure out a way to shoot it. It's insane. Like, Christopher Nolan is a beast. And also Memento. Did we watch Memento? The backwards movie?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's another one we kind of watched recently, too. What were your thoughts on that one? Remember Guy Pearce and... You know,
I'm trying to remember the ending. I'm thinking in my brain, I'm going, the ending was...
Well, because, like, the movie was backwards. Like, the movie itself was literally backwards, and the black and white scenes, or the color... Wait, yeah, the black and white scenes were, like, the start, and then where we started was the end, but we met in the middle to show the conclusion and the start. but that was showed at the end. So, like, how he, like, composed it and wrote that movie, it, like, I don't know how he did it. First of, like you just said, I don't know how. But what were your thoughts on Guy Pearce in that? I mean, his performance, in my opinion, was insane. Like,
remind me of some of it.
I mean, he was getting those tattoos of his memories all over himself. Yeah. And just, like, he was talking to someone on the phone that he had no idea. And then he finally, like, the tattoo finally healed. It says, don't pick up the phone. And, like, everything he was doing was just a puzzle. And it, yeah, I thought it was crazy. Now, we'll have to watch it again for sure. But, yeah, that movie is more of a thinker. Like, you really need to think about that movie. Like, because if you just kind of skim through it, like, you're not going to, I promise you, you're not going to understand it. I've watched that movie 5 times. I still have questions.
And pieces are popping into my brain.
Did we watch Inception?
We watched Inception.
Yeah, we did, with the dreidel at the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I remember looking at you saying, that's how it ends.
I mean, like, was he in a dream?
Does it stop or doesn't it stop? What's going on?
Was he, I mean, we heard it continue. It doesn't topple. So that means that entire thing was possibly just a dream. Yeah, but like, we just dove to the end of the movie. But what was your thoughts on that? Like, just the writing, the, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio's performance, you know, what were your thoughts?
It was amazing.
We may have talked about this on the podcast already, but
yeah.
It's all good. Inception is a never-ending story.
I have to watch that one again. There's so many.
Yeah, there's too many, actually. And it's crazy because Christopher Nolan, I don't think he's done, he did The Dark Knight Trilogy, he did Memento, he did Insomnia, he did Inception, Interstellar, Dunkirk, Oppenheimer. He's doing The Odyssey, the story about Odysseus.
Which one did you show me was about the war, during the war?
Which war? 1917. Yeah, World War One. That was World War One, the trench combat. I think we may have talked about that as well on the podcast.
We did.
But yeah, how that was shot and what it looked like all in one take. Mm-hmm. But there was cuts here and there, 3 or 4 of them. But yeah, that movie is actually a marvel. Like, I have no idea how they made that movie, like, objectively. And then you got Benedict Cumberbatch, his, like, cameo at the end. And, like, literally, he's like, you have to stop this attack. And he's like, he reads the letter and he's like, stand them down. And then he just walks away. That was his cameo. Like, when you can get a guy like that, or someone like of an A-tier like that, to come in and just give you 5 minutes, you know the movie's going to be good. Like, but you mentioned the Usual Suspects. What were your thoughts on that movie? I love that movie.
That movie was, it so surprised me that the fellow, it's the same thing. He was physically challenged. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right term to use.
Well, now. I mean, yeah.
And he wasn't. I mean, the whole thing was just a
facade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I mean, again, if you've not seen the movie, we're going to, we'll pause it there so we don't spoil it, but it does have one of the biggest jaw droppers of all time, you know, and Kaiser Sose is among them the entire time. It's pretty crazy to think about, but there's so many movies like that. I feel like that's why I like the 90s a lot when it comes to film, because they didn't care about, like, if the good guys won.
Exactly.
You know, like, there was more creative writing, in my opinion.
And many times the what we call bad guys were better than the good guys.
That reminds me of Heat. I mean, Al Pacino, kind of just a dirtbag in that movie. Like, not in a bad way. Like, he's a good cop. He follows the rules. Mm-hmm. Like, but he treats his family like shit.
Yeah.
And Robert De Niro, on the other hand, the guy that's pulling the heists, he's taking care of his crew, saving their marriages, yep, helping their kids with money. Like, I don't know. Like, maybe that was just a reflection of society back then. But I don't know. The movies now are just so different.
Well, you always, as you say, back then, I mean, I feel like it was more of we take care of our families, we love our families, and so maybe we do some things we shouldn't be doing, but...
Mm. And now it's kind of, it's like that, but with like capes. There's superheroes. Everyone wants to be a special superhero. So yeah, no, I can see that. That's very, that's another reason why I like movies, because they reflect time.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at a movie and be like, ah, that's what it was kind of like back then. You know, look at the cars they're driving, look at the scenery, look at the way they're talking, you know, the suits, the cosmetics.
But a lot of it wasn't really that way. That was, you used the word before,
a variation of it. Yeah. But I guess you still get the style, though. You still get, like, the vibe. Like, if you watch an 80s movie, I know, like, you're watching Lethal Weapon. That's not what cops are doing. But, like, you know, what they're driving, what they're shooting out of, what they're wearing, the cigarettes, the donuts, you know, just the diners back then, smoking in the airplanes. Like, you can get stuff like that out of movies, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But I see what you're saying, though. It's not like... You're not watching Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and you're really like, well, was this the 80s? Like, yeah, I don't know. Was it? I mean, it could be, because everyone was... the coke epidemic back then, I mean, that kind of inspired Terminator, but... I mean, a lot of those movies... Yeah, because when you break it down, like, look at Terminator, and then, like, Rambo. I get that the rivalry between Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone was there, but, like... They're very similar stories, like, and like base-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, the 80s was like action, adventure, explosion, color everywhere, in my opinion, like from my perspective. And then the 90s was like a little darker. You know, the bad guys were winning a little bit, and, you know, we were talking about it. And, yeah, no, it's just interesting to talk about that kind of stuff. What would you say, like, the biggest film was when you were growing up? Like back
there was one big film, Gone with the Wind. I know that. Many. I'm taking myself back very far.
When was that? But the 50s, 60s?
50s, I believe.
And
I liked that movie
better
than I liked The Wizard of Oz.
Did you see that movie when it came out, The Gone with the Wind, when it, like, in theaters, or did you go to the cinema?
I read the book. Of course, I read the book. And I was really excited about seeing the movie, so we did see the movie.
What was that? That experience back then, the cinema?
It was, well, we went to the...
Or a drive-in.
Called the Fox Theater.
It
was this big theater in Philly that showed, had the ability, whatever the screen was, they said, they had the name of it, whatever the screen was, you could really see, you'd be part of the experience.
Mm. So it was like IMAX.
Yes, it would be... The 50s version of IMAX, probably.
So it was called the Fox Theater in Philadelphia?
Fox Theater in Philly, yeah.
In the city?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I wonder if it's still...
The big ones.
I wonder if it's still up.
I doubt it.
The building itself, maybe repurposed?
The building would be, yeah. The building would be.
That's interesting. That's a cool name for a theater, too.
Yeah.
And they had those, like, outside, like, light bulbs everywhere, looking like Broadway.
You had the marquee, I think they call it?
Maybe.
With the theater, like, something coming out. And then the name of the movie they were playing would be scrolling across.
Oh, nice. I feel like we lost a lot of that, like, nostalgia. Now it's just movie theaters are just, like, big block buildings that, you know, have 17 rooms in them. And then you have, like, the posters outside. Like, it's cool and all, but I just... Where was it? I think it was Knoxville. The Regal... The headquarters of Regal Cinema.
Okay.
They had the, not like anything cool like that back in the Gone with the Wind type of energy and vibes, but they had like this massive movie theater with like a huge indoor like slides and like a playground and
oh my god,
like a celebrity like Walk of Fame outside too. They had, I think Josh Brolin was out on there, like he had his name cemented into the pavement. It was a huge theater. Like I took some pictures of it. It's on my Instagram, but. I just feel like the theater itself, the theater experience is now dead. Yeah, no, like the opening weekend of movies, everyone's going to go and see that movie, but
it's not
the same, you know?
We used to look forward to the movie. They had the coming. As a matter of fact, when you went into the movies, they had a bunch of coming attractions.
Mm.
So you saw clips, like trailers of the different movies and things. And you had to pop up what it is. You had to have a comic, some kind of cartoon as part of it.
I know you guys definitely were in the prime of the comics and the cartoons on the paper and stuff, which are heavily, like, those specific comics and cartoons from back then are, like, why we have so many different cartoon shows now, like, heavily inspired by some of those iconic little comic strips in the papers back in the day. But, so Gone with the Wind, then Wizard of Oz, were there, like, the two big ones back in the 50s when you were kind of growing up as a kid?
Yeah, they had a lot of the Walt Disney.
Mm.
The one I never saw, I think I've told you guys this before, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
We had to leave the movie theater because I was with my sister. She was taking care of me. And I had to leave the movie theater at the part where Alice gets big, gets small, gets big. I couldn't handle that some reason.
They made a new trilogy of those, like Alice in the Wonderland trilogy. And it's like Johnny Depp, I think, was in them.
Oh.
But no, you're right, though. Very creepy. So when was that? When did that come out, Alice in the Wonderland?
50s, I would
50,
think.
50, like late 50s?
They had, had to be maybe even the late 40s, early 50s, because I was young enough that I was very frightened.
So you remembered it, because you were born in 44, right? 44. So you were 6 at 50, so probably around then, like early 50s then. That's crazy. That's crazy that came out then, and then we've got, I wonder how many remakes total of that. It's inspired a lot.
Your mom gave me that on, I think it was a DVD.
Yeah.
To be funny, because she knew how afraid I did not, I've never seen the movie.
Mm.
I can see it now and not be afraid, but I never saw that movie all the way through.
I feel the same way about Jaws, and
I saw that
at like 5. And I was trying, I can't go in the ocean past, like, I can't not be touching the ground in the ocean anymore. Like, I can't have anything, like, I can't have nothing underneath me.
But they have little sand sharks. God, you'll never go in them.
Yeah, no, the sand sharks scare me, but my biggest fear is, like, a bull shark.
I know.
Or, like, a tiger shark.
Bad.
Just coming over and just, but also Snakes on a Plane with Samuel L. Jackson from 2004.
Oh, I know.
I saw that at a young age. And
I hate snakes to begin with.
That movie is so just borderline demented and just so stupid, but I love it. But I also hate it because, like, it has snakes, but it also has Samuel L. Jackson around just killing snakes on a plane. Like, I mean, who's not watching that for like 2 hours? Like, I don't know. So it's a solid use of your time.
Pay a lot of money to be scared out of your mind.
Well, back then, even in 2004, the tickets were probably like $6. Now it's like 15 to go see a movie, which is crazy to me. Like, let me pay my $8 and be on my way. I'm going to be buying snacks and food. And like, you're fucking charging me an arm and a leg nowadays. Like, what's going on here?
I'm trying to remember the movie that I was so frightened of. Oh, Creature from the Black Lagoon. And
when did that come out?
Oh, that was, again,
50s?
Late 40s, early 50s, you know, something
The Creature
like that.
Of the Black Lagoon.
When I saw it, your mom, I took your uncles and your mom, I had the three of them, took them to the library around us. They were showing that movie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're like, that movie's so fake. And it was, seeing it as an adult, it's seeing everything that they can show now on movie theaters. It seemed real.
Yeah.
It was so fake.
Yeah, but
as a kid,
I mean, that's how it is, though. As a kid, your imagination is 20 million times larger, I feel like. You can imagine different things. And
your mom was practicing, was swimming, and her swim practices were at a quarry in the summertime. She said, I kept trying to swim with everybody else because I kept waiting for the creature. I said, I thought it wasn't believable, huh?
The unbelievable stuff can always get to you sometimes. I remember when I was watching the Blair Witch Project, and I forget who told it to me before. Like, I put it in the DVD player, and they're like, yeah, dude, that's actual found footage. That's real. Those were real people that disappeared. I'm like, what? How is this on, like, a DVD? How are they selling this? This is... What?
Wait, how did the people...
Who found this camera? Like, and so I watched it, and I was, like, utterly terrified.
I
Like, I was like, oh my God, how is this real? Like, is this a real place?
This could happen, couldn't it? So, that's where the stuff that goes on, like, even though they thought, and it was, the creature from the Black Lagoon was very, very artificial looking when I saw it as an adult.
Yeah.
But it kicks off in your mind what could happen. There could be a creature down that water, like when your mom, because quarries, their water is very, very deep.
Do you hear the theory? This is a little bit rated R, but the theory of the Loch Ness Monster?
No.
Because the Loch, that specific area is connected to the ocean. So the theory is whales have gone in there and it's just their penis.
Because
if you look up, I'm not saying to anyone, go look up a picture of a whale penis, but it literally, if you look at the like drawings and sketches of what people say the Loch Ness Monster looks like, it's just, it looks like a whale penis.
Oh,
like,
I'll have to look that up.
No, my mom, don't look that.
Get that out.
But no, that's a perfect way to wrap it up, talking about whale penis. But everyone out there, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Make sure you guys check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at Tea Time Reports. Like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube channel at Tea Time Reports as well. And if you have Spotify, Amazon Music, or Apple Podcasts, check us out. Give us a rating, a little thumbs up, and a comment on there. All support's greatly appreciated. And real quick, Mom, anything you wanted to say to our listeners out there?
No, just give me a good review.
give Mom a good review there, folks out there, from Indonesia to Germany to wherever, however, whenever you're listening to this. Thank you so much, everyone out there. Stay safe, stay awake, and peace.